Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good evening. It appears we're having some technical difficulties. Tonight's topic is going to be on, should you train with an order or should you go it alone, the benefits and such, and pros and cons of each. Are you there, Hannigan?
Hey, everybody. I just called back in. Just in case we didn't start recording, welcome to Jedi Talk on Jedi Realist Radio, of course, at Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, MJ Hannigan, and I have special co-host, Master Alan Wilson from the Arcane of Jedi. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Hopefully my phone holds service because I'm kind of disappointed my computer did not. All right. So today's episode kind of stems from our chit chat in Jedi Church today about a simple question about, you know, the differences between training on your own, training in offline Jedi groups, and training in orders. And some of the responses were pretty great. Other responses turned to a shit show pretty fast. But it kind of is what it is. Before we technically really start about that, you know, Jedi history has been a lot of us training purely on our own. It wasn't until the late 90s when the Yahoo groups and the forums started. And at the time, we were all kind of doing our own thing. And then the late 90s hit, and we actually went towards the group concepts. But, Alan, since you were back there with the dinosaurs and whatnot, and it was all purely on your own, what types of things do you do then versus what you do now?
Well, I mean, back then, we were limited on material. So, if you had chosen this path in the early days, you basically had to pattern yourself off of what little we knew of Obi-Wan Kenobi. In the late 80s, West End Games came out with an RPG game, Star Wars. When we started to get a little more insight, like we now had a Jedi code, we kind of had how a Jedi was supposed to behave, you know, kind of putting it in D&D terms, you know, they were lawful good or chaotic good. And such. I don't think they actually put it in those exact terms, but that's a good equation. And so for those of us that role played or cosplayed, we tried to kind of hold to the gaming ideals of being a Jedi. And we kind of tried to make our own training regiments. And in the early days, it was tough. I mean, you were truly going it alone. Nowadays, I hear people say they're going alone. But there's so much information out there nowadays that, you know, just a simple Google search and you can find some simple ideas on how to properly behave as a Jedi.
Well, I think my bigger thing is, you know, I'm all for, you know, people who do train on their own. Because for some reason, geographically speaking, yeah, you know, starting groups and whatnot could be difficult. But to be like, yeah, I'm my own Jedi. I don't, you know, do any training with any of the online groups, you know, and I don't have anybody here in the offline groups. You know, where's the accountability at? You know, if you have nobody to hold you accountable, you have no idea on a training structure. And the good and bad thing about the old guard is, dude, we've been here, we've done it. You know, there's mistakes that we've made. You know, we don't need to reinvent the wheel every 5 seconds. And I think people are actually doing themselves a greater disservice by not taking advantage of the resources that are actually out there.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. You know, the other thing I look at is, why would a Jedi want to train alone? I mean, when we look at what a Jedi is, even in the original trilogy, you know, they were looking to train another Jedi. They didn't believe any existed, but then Luke shows up and Obi-Wan's quick to take him under his wing. Obi-Wan then refers him to Yoda. Yoda is quick to start his training. And to me, that kind of showed that, you know, Jedi are supposed to, we're supposed to be teaching. And if I'm strictly alone, a true lone Jedi, who am I teaching? Who am I working with? Am I working with my community? Because if I'm working in my community, I'm not alone either, because I'm helping out other people and they're going to learn from me.
Yeah, you know, that's another true one. But, you know, I think the people who want to do it alone, truthfully, they're actually not serious about it. You know, I just want to do my own thing. You know, hey, that's cool. But to do what you want and call yourself a Jedi mindset that crippled us in the early to mid 2000s and seriously almost ended us in the early 2010s, you know, I'm glad it's actually fading away. You know, and I think the problem with that as the self-proclaimed masters, oh, I'm Jedi Knight so-and-so, I'm Jedi Master so-and-so. Like, what was that one girl? She went from being a Jedi 1 week, 2 weeks later, her master said she was a Jedi Knight, and then, like, a week or two after that, she declared herself a Jedi Master. I cannot think what the hell that girl's name was. But, you know, we get a lot of that. And I noticed, unfortunately, Jedi Church does seem to catch the brunt of the do what you want, call yourself Jedi, and next thing you know, you're an 18-year-old kid and you're a Jedi Master. You know, again, the accountability is, it's just not there. It's kind of like, hey, I'm going to go and take some Taekwondo program where I do everything on my own and I get a black belt in 2 years. You know, could a person seriously do that? In theory, it's possible, but the practicality of it, I don't see it happening.
Well, even using the Taekwondo example, they could learn the techniques, but they'd still have to go, they'd still have to go in front of somebody that's with some organization if they ever wanted to test, so that they could even claim that they were a certain level in Taekwondo. And like the example you used, I remember somebody not too long ago, I'm not going to mention any names, but I remember 1 week they were wanting to be a Padawan and they were looking for a training master to help them on the path. And then 2 weeks later they come back and they're introducing themselves as a knight looking for students to take. And I think that's the problem with doing it alone is most of us, we're doing it alone because we don't realize anything else exists. And then we fall prey easily to these that we don't know any better. We think they know what they're talking about. And so we're willing to accept their training. And you and I have both seen plenty in the community that weren't on the path, that were self-proclaimed and had their own orders, and yet were leading people completely down the wrong path. And so I do believe that, you know, these established orders and groups that support the established orders are important for our community to help keep people from getting lost.
You're talking about that guy from Tennessee I know who you're talking about. And then there's another guy from, I actually wish I could list all of this off. If I had it written down beforehand, I probably would have. But yeah, you're right. There is that one guy who showed up, and it was actually right before the Jedi Gathering. He showed up. He picked my brain and a couple other people's, and the gathering was in his own backyard, and he couldn't make it, which I thought was kind of weird. And then, like, a couple weeks after the gathering, yeah, he's a Jedi Knight, and the group he was in made him a Jedi Knight, even though he just talked to a few of us a couple weeks beforehand, and he just heard about this path. And he's starting his own group, but he didn't have a Facebook page to that group because his group didn't publicize things, which I think is actually a pretty weird thing. But, the martial art example. There was another person who called himself a Jedi from the Juno Noble Order, whatever that was. He was talking about earning their black belt over some DVD program, which, if you look at the old Black Belt magazines, I don't know if the ads are still in there, because I haven't gotten Black Belt magazine in years, when it became more advertisements and articles, it was not worth watching. But they used to have the programs that, you know, you spent $500 and you're guaranteed a Black Belt, and they'll send you a new VCR tape, VHS, every few months, and you work on those techniques in that VCR tape, and then, you know, you get the next one and work on that, and then a Black Belt's going to show up in the mail. At what point did you actually earn that Black Belt?
Yeah, right? I mean, who was there to test you? Who said you even knew what you were doing? I mean, you can just be receiving the VHS tapes and not even watching them, and when that allotted time was up, received your Black Belt.
No, you know, to be fair, now, with Shaolin Kempo and Kempo Karate and, of course, Taekwondo behind me, if I was going to watch YouTube videos to learn some new katas, or in Taekwondo we call them pumses, but, you know, honestly, with the training I've had so far, I could probably grasp those katas and be able to do them. I probably would. It would be a lot of trial and error, but you know what? That's okay. Same as learning the lightsaber forms that the Sable Legion was using. But without having that backing behind me, or even a martial arts style behind me that was a striking style, I don't think there's any way in hell I would be able to grasp any of that information. Like, none of it would make sense.
Well, true. And on your own, I mean, there's no way to gauge, like, in martial arts, whether you have the technique down properly or not. And same thing walking the path, the Jedi path. You know, we can say, okay, well, this is what honor means. Well, honor means different things to different people. You know, even in our own community, we have disagreements on what certain aspects of the path mean. But at least as the community, we can all work on the different aspects and come to an agreement. Okay, like, there are some things that Arcanea believes should be stricter, and I'm just going to say I'll use that one. We'll say Kentucky Jedi. Their initiate program is way stricter than Arcanea's initiate program. Does that make Kentucky wrong? No, it's just the way they do things. Where ours is a little bit lighter, where I don't know how tough their Padawan program is, but my Padawan program is tough. And so, but we both agree that, you know, there needs to be the initiate phase, the Padawan phase, and there's certain aspects that a person needs to be able to demonstrate and know before they face the review board to become a knight. And when you're out on your own, I mean, I don't think there's been too many people that have gone before the review board going, I know I'm going to pass this. There's not too many of them that have gone up before the review board going, well, I know I'm going to fail. They went in front of that review board not knowing what direction the review board was going to go. And if you're on your own, who's gauging that? Because I could gauge myself an awesome night, and I could go before that review board and fail it horribly. And so
sure
when you're
enough.
Going alone, you have nobody to gauge if you're truly going it alone. There's nobody to say, oh, you know what, you need to work on this area. Or, you know what, you're working a little too hard in that area. You need to channel more energy over here. And so that's why I think the going it alone, and I mean a lot of us had to. And those of us that have been in the community a while, look what happened once we started to get standards. You know, a lot of us in the older days, we had to learn some more because there were aspects that we were lacking that now the community says you should be good at this and we weren't good at that. I may have started into the lightsaber skills and I may be a jam-up lightsaber duelist. But I may not be anything worth a diplomat. I may not know how to handle anything peacefully. That doesn't make me a great Jedi. Doesn't even make me a good Jedi. Just because I can swing a saber or a sword doesn't make me a Jedi. Just because I can put on a brown robe doesn't make me a Jedi. And I think that's the problem with going it alone, is you're only living up to your own standards.
You know, that's actually probably one of the bigger problems that we have. And I think that's why a lot of people love using, abusing the term the gray Jedi, because they want to do their own thing. Again, we're going to go with the do what you want and curse off a Jedi mindset, and have no accountability, no standards, nothing to worry about, because God forbid we have standards and, you know, have that. Because if you have standards, and oh my goodness, some people may or may not make them, and then, you know, all sorts of hell is going to break loose from that one. You know, I think that's actually kind of the thing, and we'll get to the orders here, you know, with that transition, is we do have a lot of Jedi orders out there, on and offline, and there are some orders that they have their standards, and people become knights of that order, and it's kind of weird, they're knights of that one particular order, but they don't branch out to the rest of the community, and, you know, I'll actually mention it. It's Temple of the Jedi Order, Tacho. They definitely have a lot of knights at Tacho, but it seems like some of them are actually afraid to join the rest of the communities because they don't know if they'll meet the standard of knighthood for Arcanea or for Kentucky or for Jedi Federation. And they want people to automatically, you know, associate them as knights because they're knights of Tacho. I, for one, can say, hey, this is Alan Wilson. He's a master over at Arcanea. Or this is so-and-so. They're a knight over at Tacho. Or this is Cracker Jack and Sean T. They're knights of Kentucky. Just because they're from the different groups, I can acknowledge that they are knights or masters of particular groups. But should we acknowledge a Tacho Knight or a Kentucky Jedi Knight or a Jedi Federation Knight, Ganea, as knights?
Our logic at Arcanea is that if you've been knighted with an order, with a recognized order, you know, not some order that just popped up yesterday, but any of the orders that have been around for at least a couple of years, and you come over to Arcanea as a guest or whatever, and, you know, you introduce yourself as a knight of your order, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. We're going to go ahead and we're going to agree that you went through the training and that you had standards and you met those standards. And just like in the medieval days, you know, different groups of knights had different levels of standards of what they thought a knight was. Even if anybody's familiar with the movie A Knight's Tale, I mean, that was a great example of, I can't remember their names, but the jerk in the movie as opposed to Heath Ledger's character, you know, oh, them poor country knights, they shouldn't even be allowed in the tournament, was a prime example that even in the Middle Ages, there was a different ideas about who were real knights and who weren't real. And I think in our community, it's the same way. We should still show the respect until they prove themselves to be otherwise. Now, I've had a couple of those that came to Arcanea. They were knights in another order, and we accepted their knighthood because we had talked to their training masters, and those people had confirmed that they were knights in that order. But once they showed in our order that they couldn't behave like knights, you know, I told them that, you know, hey, you might be a knight in your order, but if you're going to behave that way here, we're not going to consider it. One of the members actually became a member of Arcanea and then showed he didn't have knightly qualities and left, then begged to come back in. And I told him, I said, if you're coming back in, you're leaving your old title at the door because you don't meet Arcanea standards. So if we're going to take you back in and consider you a knight, you're now going to train up to and meet our standards. And, of course, he was offended by that, but I think that I know, like, Sean T is part of Arcanea, but say he wasn't, and he came over to Arcanea, I would say, hey, Sean, I think you need to measure up a little bit more here. to be considered a knight in Arcanea. A true knight of any other order would say, not a problem. I will work on that for you so that I can meet your order standard of knighthood.
True. And yeah, I know Shanti totally would. I love throwing Shanti's name under the bus because it's going to summon him. Kind of like we talk about Ali having like really long gray hair, it summons her. I think that's actually one of the bigger things that Jedi Fed is working on, where, you know, we do have an offline presence. You know, that's actually what we are meant to do, is create offline groups. And, you know, we have groups in Chicago, we have Indiana, Kentucky, and Arcanea is one of the newer groups that are part of the Jedi Federation. But, you know, we do still have to have an online presence, much like Arcanea has an online and offline presence. Do you think that's beneficial for the community as a whole, or do you think that distract between these people are online, these people are offline?
I think there's pros and cons to it. I mean, the pros to it, we're not big enough anywhere yet that our name is common on everybody's list. And until that day happens, you know, we're going to need the online presence. We don't have offline temples or churches or whatever you want to call them. So it's not like you can drive by and go, oh, look, Arcanea Jedi Order. What is that? I'll have to check that out next Sunday or Saturday or whenever we're having meetings or services, whatever you want to call them. So until that day where we have an actual presence in the community with our own building and standard meeting days and hours and such, we need that online presence just to let people know we're there. But at the same time, the online presence tracks a lot of, you know, what we like to call in the Facebook community, it attracts a lot of trolls. And that can be hurtful because, let's be honest, we can't govern our Facebook groups, pages, orders, whatever. We can't be there 24 hours to govern them. And so people are going to come along from time to time, and they're going to say things that don't necessarily fit our path. They may not even know anything about the path. And they're in there talking like they're an expert. And they could be misleading some of the students. We've seen that happen where people from other orders will come into an order and they're there for a couple of weeks. And the next thing you know, they're trying to recruit people out of that order for their own order. And so the online presence can be both good and bad. Offline is definitely important because you don't really get to know anybody online. I've met some of the nicest people I've ever known online, met them in person, and they're some of the biggest dirtbags you've ever known. And yet, in a reverse of that, I've known some people online that I wouldn't give the time or day to even speak to, who I'm really good friends with offline.
True. I think, actually, we're about to have a guest call in here shortly. I think that's kind of like one of the bigger things is online, you can be anybody you want to be. You can literally be whoever you want to be. And people used to take advantage of that over the years on the forums because, well, you know, hey, I can be like, you know, 6'2", 210 pounds, all buffed up, yada, yada, yada. Nobody's ever going to find out who I am. And then, let's see here. Facebook or MySpace hit. And then next thing you know, a lot of people really fell off the map. But speaking of wannabe Jedi, I got one on the line. Give me one second here. Let's see something. It's actually not Shanti, but I had to give Cracker Jack some love for Kentucky. So welcome, Cracker Jack.
Hey,
we're talking
what's
about
going on,
wannabe
brother?
Jedi. We're talking about Wannabe Jedi. And you just popped in, and you know, we're actually using Kentucky Jedi as a reference point a little while ago, but we'll get into that a little bit later. But today's topic, the difference between individual Jedi training without having anybody around you versus online orders versus offline orders. And you would be a really great example of Kentucky Jedi being relatively one of the closest to new kids on the block. And I'm going to start saying the song Hating Tough. Yeah, I'm going to hate when that happens. But, you know, you went from the individual to, you know, being over at Tacho to creating Kentucky Jedi, then meeting up with Jedi Federation. So what's your views on that? Like, what do you think was great, you know, as a individual doing your own thing, as working with Tacho, and then Kentucky Jedi and so forth? Like, what were the pros and cons of each of those?
Now, in my opinion, it's totally up to the individual. You can learn quantum physics from a book. You can learn mathematics from a book. You can learn all kinds of stuff doing it on your own. Now, can you individually go out and say, I have a master's degree in physics? No, you can't. You have to go to somewhere and get actual training to get that piece of paper that says, yes, you have a degree in this field. Not that being a Jedi is having a degree, but I relate that to needing the guidance and needing the training, whether it be online or offline. I prefer offline, but online is a great place to start to get your feet wet, to see what it's all about, to see if it's a good fit for you. And you can also test a lot of different places that way. You know, the pros to doing it online is just that. You know, you can test out a lot of different places, see who you like, who you don't like, if it's for you, if it's not for you. Some of the cons is you're not going to get the one-on-one physical training and guidance unless you're chat happy.
Wow, that just reminds me of definitely Temple of the Jedi Order is if you're using the chat room there. I remember that place always being lit up.
And there's nothing wrong with doing it online, but it's not going to be as well-rounded training as it should be if you don't do some physical meetups, some physical aspect. You know, that's not necessarily saying you have to go to the gym and you have to do that, because some people, quite frankly, aren't physically capable of doing it. But you can have physical guidance with your meditation and with your training and with your anger control and with all kinds of different things that have nothing to do with physical ability.
True. And actually, what we were talking about earlier is how difficult the initiate program is over at Kentucky Jedi. We've heard there's a number of steps with that. Can you confirm or deny that information?
That the initiate program at Kentucky Jedi is difficult?
I don't think
it's difficult at all. I don't think it's difficult at all. is it a little challenging? Yes. But then again, you know, if you want to go through the steps and become, you know, go into the training as a Padawan and move into knighthood, then you need to challenge yourself. You know, there has to be a certain level of commitment, and you have to prove that commitment, whether it be online, offline, or wherever.
That is true. And I heard another rumor, maybe you can confirm or deny this one, that if anybody from Kentucky is going to be considered to be knighted, that I have to move in with them for 3 months, and if they don't kill me, they might get knighted.
If you live with somebody for 3 months and they don't kill you, they deserve to be knighted. Whether it be from Kentucky or Kansas or Chicago or anywhere.
Yeah. And just call me Yoda.
Hey, actually, yeah, I have two Jedi I've actually lived
Alex?
With. But now you've done the individual, you've done the online, and you know, one of the biggest things I think within our community that I personally support the most, aside from Jedi Realist Radio and American Jedi, that is our annual Jedi gatherings. Jack, this was your first year at a Jedi gathering, in meeting a bunch of people at one time. How did that feel before you got there, when you got there, and did it change your path at all?
Before I got there, I had in my hand, in my head, that I knew exactly what to expect, and boy, was I wrong. on the way there, that's when I got nervous. The closer I got, the more nervous I got, because I was meeting people like yourself and Ross and, you know, different people that had been around for a long time and that I've spoken with and that I respect deeply. And Gabe, and I got really nervous about meeting some of these people in person. And when I got there, it felt like I knew everybody. Like Allie, when I saw her in person for the first time, it felt like I had already known her for years. When I saw Ross, it felt like I'd known him for years, and it was fantastic. When I saw Gabe, it felt like I had already known him for years and hung out and done stuff. And it's the first time I ever met these guys, and it was perfect.
Yeah. I'm going to say, Alan, this is your second gathering, but going back to your first gathering, did you have a similar impression of that?
I've gone both ways with that. I can definitely agree with what Jack was saying. You know, there was people that I thought I knew really well, and I got to the gathering, and it was like I had known them most of my life. But I also have to say there were people that I thought I knew well that once I met them at a gathering, realized I didn't know them at all. And there were other people that I had reservations about wanting to know in person that once I met them at the gathering and hung out with them for a little bit, realized that these were some awesome people. And so now I've gone to two of the last, you know, there was some time between them, but two gathering, national gatherings. And both times I had the butterflies in the stomach. And you'd have thought with the second one, I mean, I looked at the names that were going, and I knew almost everybody that said for a fact they were going. And I was like, ah, this is cool, I got this. And I got there and realized there were people there, not only that I didn't know, but hadn't even talked to online. And it gave me a chance to get to know them, and we made friendships at the gathering that have now carried over online too. And I now have people that I can go to and go, you know what, from talking with them at the gathering, this person had a much different perspective than I have. And so it's not a thing now. I'll get on Messenger and I'll message somebody that I met at the gathering and go, hey, what do you think about this? And I may come back and change my whole way of thinking of how we do things in our order because of people I met at the gathering and their input and their feelings and ideas on stuff.
True. And actually, hey, speaking of gatherings, let's give that a quick plug. The national gathering for this year has been announced, and I'm thoroughly excited that we're back at the Frat House. If you want to be a part of Jedi history, you have got to come to this year's Jedi Gathering. Ellen, you were there, so you know why I called it the Frat House. But it's in, was it Martinsville, Indiana, June 20th to 23rd, so make sure to put it on your calendars. This year, the official dollar amount has not necessarily come out, but last year we went to Bradford. The Jedi Gathering was $220, so I'm going to safely assume we're going to be somewhere in that market again. The cool things about this location, well, one, it was secluded, but for everybody who had to go to Walmart to get snacks, Walmart was seriously only a five-minute drive. Unlike last year's gathering where you didn't want to leave because you may not make it back, so you can't find your way. This one is right down the road from, was it Walmart, as well as, what's that hamburger place that, White Castle. They're both right down the road. So I'm excited this year. It's going to be a hell of an event. I'm really hoping to get my room back, even if I have to, you know, get two, even if I have to, you know, pay for two people to have my room. I'm planning on having my room again. This place was, if you watch American Jedi, the later part of it where it said a year later, that's where this was actually filmed. And I'm looking forward to going back there. But back to your actual topic at hand, Jack, Kentucky Jedi, they're definitely one of the newer groups. Did you go through a lot of trial and error, or was getting people together harder than you thought it was going to be, or easier, or what?
Well, it was absolutely a lot of trial and error. I'd contemplated making group after group after group, and, you know, just never actually did it, and just kept talking to people in Tajo and a little bit online and other places, in Jedi Federation and just all kinds of places. And once I finally did say, you know what, this is what I need to do, this is what I feel like I need to be doing, once I committed myself to actually making the group and founding Kentucky Jedi, then there was like me and Sean T, and that was it. But I didn't care because I knew in time that there would be more and more. And just like now, I mean, we're still really small. We have about 45, 50 members. But, you know, that's people from literally all over the world. As far as in Kentucky, we have probably 7, 8 active members. But you know what? In time, that's still going to grow anyway, as long as we remain active and we remain true to who we are and what we're doing and what we're about. And so I'm not worried about the size of Kentucky Jedi. I'm worried about the quality of the training that I'm able to give and the quality of people that are in there.
Am I still an honorary member of Kentucky Jedi?
You will always be an honorary member of Kentucky Jedi.
Awesome. I can still wear my t-shirt with pride then. Now, Alan, kind of a same thing with you. And actually, before I say that, I'm actually pretty damn excited too that in like less than a month from now, we're almost going to have a Jedi reunion. We're going to have myself and a friend of mine from Arcanea heading up to Chicago. We're going to have Cracker Jack and Sean T from Kentucky heading up to Chicago. We're going to have Crystal heading over from Indiana. And we're even going to have Snips from Michigan showing up in Chicago for an event that they have going on. So it's actually kind of cool that we're going to have 5 Jedi Federation Knights from outside of Chicago hanging out with the Chicago Jedi in, yeah, like a month from now. I'm excited to... One thing I loved, when I moved to Louisville, I loved this, you know, particularly was when I realized how close I was to everybody. And then I came out here to outside of St. Louis. I'm like, hey, you know what? Cracker Jack is only 300 miles from me, and I've done that drive, well, technically 3 times. I drove to Louisville and back, and then one time, yeah, technically, I guess I drove that drive 4 times. You know, I got to drive over to Kentucky, you know, for a weekend not long ago to hang out with Jack and with the Kentucky Jedi. I got to see Sean T, have a great discussion in his yard, hung out with Tiffany, and going back to Sean T, meeting his wife and hanging out with Timber were both definitely pluses on that last Kentucky trip. And then, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Cracker Jack, Lady J and Tiffany showed up here for the Arcanea Jedi wedding. You know, we are not that far from each other. 300 miles. I might be like, oh my God, it's 300 miles. Yeah, if I'm going to drive 300 miles to go meet up with a person for a day, that might be a little bit rough. But driving 300 miles for a weekend is totally worth it. And Chicago is also 300 miles away from me. So I think we're actually cutting down the map. We're making it much smaller than it is, which is why our groups are becoming so awesome and interconnected nowadays. Alan, with Arcanea, you do have chapters, 2 full chapters, one in Missouri and one in Florida, and kind of a partial chapter out in Utah. You know, is that difficult with the 3 chapters, or how are you dealing with that?
The partial chapter in Utah, that's a challenge. Of course, I don't get out to Utah very often. And that chapter actually formed because the members at the time lived close to us and then moved. And rather than take it away from them, we allowed them to establish themselves in Utah. They're staying small. They want to stay small because the three of them out there don't feel ready enough to actually start an offline chapter by themselves. So they're relying on the mother order to continue to grow membership. And if we get members out in the Utah area, we'll train them online and then they can meet up with those members offline. Our Florida chapter is, I mean, I'm so proud of it. It's so jam up. Those guys stay on the move. There's six or seven members down there. For those that don't know it, the past week with that hurricane that just decimated the Panama City area, they took their own vehicles, loaded it full of food and chainsaws and other tools, and they headed over there, and they're doing their best to help clean up the debris, help get people food and water, people that are in areas that they can't get out. They've got four-wheel drive trucks. They're getting them out of those areas and getting them to shelter areas or tent cities. And one of our members, while he was there, he was working all day during relief efforts, and at night he was with the Emergency Operations Center taking classes. And while he's been there, he has now been certified as a search and rescue team leader for these kind of incidents, which, I mean, you can't help but be proud when you see a group that, I mean, we met on Sundays, we fought with lightsabers, we talked about Jedi philosophy and walking the path, and to see what those guys have done down there is just impressive. And they're staying pretty much small right now because they would rather be solid before they start allowing any growth to take place in that chapter. The Missouri chapter, we have nine of us roughly in the St. Louis area. We just got a new member over the last couple weeks. He seems pretty excited. And then we have a few members spread out in the state of Missouri. I think there's a total of 12 of us in Missouri. And it's not too difficult. I have family in Florida, so anytime I go to Florida, I make the rounds down there. I check in with them. I see how they're doing. I offer any assistance that they need while I'm down there. And when I was living in Florida, I did the same thing with Missouri. Anytime I'd come up to Missouri, I'd work with the group here in person. So it can be difficult. I mean, I'm thankful the chapters I do have, the two main chapters, they're areas that I travel to pretty regularly. So it allows me to meet offline with both groups. If I didn't travel back and forth between Missouri and Florida, having the two offline chapters, I would have to solely rely on somebody that I could totally trust to one the run chapter that I wasn't visiting on a regular basis. And that's when it can become difficult for an order that spreads themselves out too far.
Now, going back to Jack, I remember when I met Jack, and he just had the Kentucky Jedi going for a hot minute. They were going for a little bit, and Jack was always very reserved about, well, I haven't actually been knighted, so I don't want to teach. Well, Jack, after you got knighted this past June at the last gathering, how do you feel about teaching now, and is it kind of overwhelming for you?
It's not overwhelming, but because I had already had a lot of the material that I had been working on and things like that. It seemed overwhelming to some people because I released it all at once. There's still a lot more to do with it, but I just dumped a bunch of it out there all at once, and people were like, "Holy crap!" But no,
that's
as far as overwhelming, no. I mean, it's I like the challenge. It's fun. I'm learning. You know, if you're teaching something and you're not learning as much as you're teaching, then, you know, you're not doing something right. And I absolutely learn every day, you know, and you know, I plan on continuing to be that way. I plan on to continue to teach, and I will probably cry the very first time one of my students gets promoted tonight. So, yeah.
Hey. I was going to cry when Sarah got knighted, but part of that, too, was as I was being woken up by Allie and her saying, if you don't wake up now, Smith is going to kill you. That may have been another reason why I was going to cry that morning. Now, has the Gathering, I personally think, this is my opinion of you, so keep that in mind. My opinion, R25 will get you a cup of coffee from McDonald's. But my opinion was, the Gathering gave you a second wind that people were like, holy shit. Like, the day you came back to the Gathering was hilarious. I went to the gym, and Jack went straight to his computer. And he started typing up the initiate program, and I think I got back to the house, and he's like, yeah, so I think I'm on, like, part 16 or something like that. Like, it seemed to have given you, like, a really good spark. Am I right in thinking that, or is that there's some truth to that?
No, no, that was about right. I'd gotten pretty far into it, but it's kind of deceiving because, like I said, I had a lot of it done. It just wasn't in an organized fashion.
And please tell Jessica I said hello, because I swear I heard her a second ago. So let her know I said hi, and I miss her. She's awesome. But
yeah, she is here with me. We're at the grocery store. That's why I can't stay on here for too much longer.
Oh, you're at the grocery store? Okay, well, any plugs you want to give, and I'll let you get going?
No, not particularly, because I don't really like this grocery store.
I was referring to anything you guys have going on or any upcoming events, something like that, except for us meeting up in Chicago, which is going to be a great time.
Well, like I said, like you said, the Chicago meetup is going to be fantastic, and I'm really looking forward to it. I wish I could be there for the entire time, but I can't because of training at my new job, which is starting on – my orientation starts on November 2nd, and then my actual job training starts on – November 5th, so that's going to be exciting.
Congratulations, Jack.
No, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
One thing I was going to say before I let you go was I did talk to Sean T yesterday. I asked him for his wife's phone number so I can call to see if he could go. And he said, no, I'm going. So I guess he was afraid for me to call his wife and ask, but he said he is going. So make sure you get a hold of him. And if he tries backing out, if I have to drive my lazy ass over to Louisville to pick him up, he does not want to ride to Chicago with me. Just saying.
So you missed a golden opportunity, Hannigan. And see, this is the time that the student can teach the master here. You missed a great shot. No, it's not that he didn't want you to call. It's that he had already given her one of his purses to bribe her so he could go.
He gave her the Prada bag. That's what it was. It was Prada. But, all right, Jack, thanks for calling in. And I'm sure I'll talk to you at least a dozen and a half times before then. But I'm looking forward to catching up with you guys in Chicago here very shortly.
All right, guys, take care. And I can't wait to see you. And I'll probably talk to you a dozen and a half times before tomorrow.
All right, talk to you later, sir.
All right, guys, be careful.
Now going back to Master Wilson, which I think it's great. I get to, like, you know, go upstairs and scream, Mr. Wilson, like Dennis the Menace, and I have a total blast doing that. Now, Alan, when your first Gathering experience, now your second Gathering experience, did it also give you a spark to bring back, like, when you came home?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The Gatherings will definitely give you a spark. They give you a newer sense of purpose. You'll learn things at the Gathering that you're like, oh, wait, I didn't know that. I need to go home and do this for my students. And even as a student, you know, I've had students come back from Gatherings and go, hey, you know, Master Wilson, I learned this at this Gathering. Could we implement this in Arcanea? And it's like, okay, write something up. You know, just don't throw an idea out there. Write something up for me. And that's something we do at Arcanea that's different than a lot of other orders, is we egg our Padawans on into becoming teachers. We even created a position that we call Senior Padawan. And those are Padawans, they've done all their academic work, but they still have a lot of growing to do to become knights. We will sometimes put initiates and new Padawans underneath them, and let them train under the guidance of a knight or above in the order. So you always got an experienced teacher there watching over the teaching, but it gives the Padawan a chance to learn how to properly teach a new Padawan, which is something I haven't seen done in a lot of other orders. But to me, this way, they get an experience at teaching so that when they get that title of knight on, they're not an inexperienced teacher.
True. That's actually logical. And you know, for the record, until I listened to Alan talk about that initially, I was actually one of the people who were like, dude, what the hell are you doing having Padawans teach and yada, yada, yada. You know, I was definitely one of those people. And listening to your definition of it, when we actually had to talk, it did make a lot more sense. Now, going back, okay, you've been to 2 Jedi gatherings. You've done the online, you've done the solo, you've done the groups. Would you go back to going to, you know, training on your own after being a part of the community as you have? Or are you glad that you made the transition and made it to the gathering and got to see the other side of things?
Oh, I'd have to say I'd never go back to doing it alone. I've grown way more being involved with the groups than I even when it was just me and, you know, students I was teaching on my own. I've grown so much more. The order's grown so much more since we joined the community. I would never go back to being alone. It was a struggle to try to learn to be a Jedi just myself. And it became, you know, when you're doing it and you're serious about it, other people see it and they become curious and then they want to learn. And that's part of being a Jedi, is to want to teach other people the path that, you know, our lifestyle, our philosophy, whatever you want to call it. And if you got no experience with a community or a true structured order, you're trying to teach people something that you're still learning on your own. And if you stay on your own, you're going to make all these mistakes. The community has made these mistakes 100 times over. They have learned how not to make these mistakes. They've learned what works and what doesn't work. The community as a whole has learned a lot about who's real and who's not. So I'd have to say, if I had to do it all over again, I go back to 1987 and I take that Jedi code and I would have started working on an order right from the get-go. And we wouldn't have had all the problems we have had in our past. We wouldn't have a lot of the problems we're still having. Granted, these problems are becoming less and less and less. We're seeing way less problems today than we saw just 5 years ago. And that's because the community is starting to solidify. We've come up with standards that a lot of the community is accepting. And you know, we'll take some of the early groups. I mean, a lot of the Jedi in the community, they have their issues with Tadjo. But, I mean, let's give Tadjo credit due. At least they were one of the first to try to really structure it and make it something other than just a bunch of people going to conventions and calling themselves Jedi. And a lot of us got our start there and learned to go, okay, these were mistakes we didn't like that were being made in this order. And I think that's a good point too. You know, don't just start an order because you want to be in charge or something, or because you think there needs to be a new one. Look in your own area. I mean, here not too long ago, we had a new order starting not 45 minutes away from us, and they had never met any of us. You know, now, I totally understand if you're coming to Arcanea gatherings and you just don't like the way Arcanea is doing it. You don't think we're following the right path, or you think Arcanea is too much of a spiritual order and you want to be nothing but a philosophy order, and then you step off and start an order, but you've got some experience and training under your belt. That's awesome. But to just start one, look around your community first. See what exists first. Try to make a go with a group close to you before you ever decide that, hey, I need to do this myself. Because it's not just about making mistakes. You make the wrong mistake, people can actually get hurt from those mistakes. You could send people down the wrong path that could ruin their lives if you're not doing it properly. And so, no, I would never do it alone again.
Actually, one of the initial orders I remember, I'm not going to count the Yahoo groups. Actually, no, I'll count the Yahoo group, and then I'll talk about the order that I first came in contact with. No, it's reverse. It is that group. Okay. Force Academy, with the light, shadow, and dark aspects. And what I remember most about the original Force Academy is they had a lot of, they had a quiz thing, a fun quiz. It was like a pop-up quiz that websites used to have back in the day. And it was a lot of the Star Wars Legends information, like what was the best lightsaber crystal to use? That was the Adegan crystal and stuff like that. And it was kind of like a fun welcome to Force Academy thing. And what I liked about Force Academy back then in its original form was it did have the people who wanted to be light, people who wanted to be shadow, which now people refer to as the Gray Jedi to an extent. And then the dark aspects, which, you know, it was always called the dark aspect. I actually don't know if they meant dark Jedi or Sith, because there really is a distinction between the two that a lot of our community does not necessarily talk about, but that's okay. The other one that I came across early on, it may have been after Force Academy, but I could be mistaken, was Jedi Sanctuary Yahoo group, and then they later became a forum. I just don't remember what year that was. And Jedi Sanctuary, we thought was the coolest thing in the world when it hit the community, because it was broadcasting itself as a legally recognized Jedi church, da 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 da. But I think now, looking back on it, I think they were part of the Universal, like they were under the Universal Life Church umbrella. Alan, do you remember that, or am I wrong on that one?
No, yeah, I think you are correct. I think they wore under the Universal Life Church for their ordinations and stuff like that. And that's what people misrepresent, too, is, you know, there are a lot of Jedi groups out there that are considered legal. But when you define legal, there's thousands of different ways to be legal. You can be recognized as just a nonprofit corporation, which is legal, but that doesn't make you a Jedi church. You can be labeled as a church. Now, to be a legal church, there's a lot of different things you have to go through before you're considered legal, such as you have to have bylaws, you have to have a mission statement, you have to have a doctrine. And then, you know, like we had a lot of Jedi weddings in the past, and we'll refer to them as legal because, yeah, the couple were legally married, but a lot of the ministers performing the weddings had gotten their ordination, say, through Universal Life Church. And so it's technically a legal wedding. You did it as Jedi, so people will look at it as a legal Jedi wedding. But there are differences, and I do believe that the Jedi Sanctuary was operating under the ULC umbrella at the time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. At least, okay, if two of us remember that way, then we'll go with that for now. But if anybody wants to fact check us, please feel free. I do believe Jedi Sanctuary, I could not pronounce that guy's name. He made it way too difficult to pronounce. But he did later, I want to say sometime around 2012, possibly 2014, he did put up a Jedi Sanctuary Facebook page. So shout out to them. Jedi Sanctuary, whether or not they were a quote-unquote Jedi religion or if they were under the UFC church, they did put a lot of material out for the early community, and it's definitely worth knowing. And anybody interested in any of their doctrine, send us a message. You know, send me a message. I'm easy to find on Facebook, Michael J. Hannigan. Or send a message to Jedi Realist Radio, and there is a website that does have the old Jedi Sanctuary Doctrine, which we can definitely give out that website and give Jedi Sanctuary its due, because they did a lot for our community. I think they were more popular, at least the forum was more popular sometime between 2006 and 2010. I think their lifespan was about that time frame. They did a lot for our community, and again, great. And for everybody, I'm going to throw this one out there too. The Universal Life Church ordination certificate, that was a huge craze in the mid-2000s, like 2005 to 2010. And I've been there and done it. I bet you Alan's been there and done it as well. I recommend it. To be honest, if you want to have a wedding and you're not part of a legally recognized Jedi church and you want to perform services, I highly recommend doing it. Just look at the qualifiers per state, because not all states are the same. And if you go to like ulc.com or universallifechurch.com, filling out the paperwork, it takes like 5 minutes, that and an email address, and you will promptly get your official ordination certificate back. Or if you're like some of the crazy Jedi I know, I'm not going to mention any names, you can do the whole ordination package where you get business cards, a placard for your car, and a couple other things for like $50 or some craziness like that. But if you are not part of a Jedi church, actually, I'm going to throw Master Wilson here under the bus. If you do want to start a group and have it as a recognized religion, just message Alan Wilson about that, and I'm sure he can give you any advice that he can, because he had to go through the process and the paperwork, and he might not be able to tell you by state, but he might be able to give you some guidance on that one. Alan, do you mind that I just threw you under the bus like that?
No, not at all. Let's just make sure it's a tour bus and not a Greyhound.
Oh, true.
I'd be more than welcome to help anybody that's serious in taking those steps. In some states, it's super easy. In other states like New York, it can be very difficult.
It's worth, like, that's the other part about the community that I absolutely love. We've all been there and done it so many times and got hit by so many buses that when people are genuine and like, hey, you know what, I would like to make my Jedi group an actual church for whatever odd reason, you know, who can help me? Hey, look, Alan from Arcanea, you know, they have legal recognized religion status. Okay, what can they do? Or, you know, that's a great thing. Or, hey, you know what, Jack, Cracker Jack and his boy Sam, they have a kick-ass lightsaber program going on in Kentucky. You know, why don't I go spend some time with them and figure some stuff out for my group? Back in the day, the forums, oh my God, they were so closed off with, you know, if you study here, you can't study anywhere else. You have to only be with us because we're the only ones that have it right. Where now the offline groups are like, hey, yeah, if you want to take that, go right ahead. Oh, you want to come down and, you know, hang out with us and, you know, spin lightsabers and work on some choreography stuff? Okay, cool. You know what? I'm not the person to show you that, but this group over here, they can definitely rock on with that. Actually, not to toot my own horn, because, you know, I absolutely hate doing that. But I was with the Kentucky Jedi, and there was a May the 4th event. And Sam told their people, like, hey, yeah, by the way, we have this guy named Hannigan. He has been in a documentary called American Jedi. And then if you guys want to interview him, I'm sure he would love it, which is pretty much true. But I talked to them for a few minutes, and they were like, hey, so you have your lightsaber. Do you want to give us a demonstration? I looked over at them like, you know what? I am the wrong person to ask for a demonstration because my lightsaber skills absolutely suck. But if you go over to Sam and Jack, I guarantee you they would do a demo. So, Alan, you got hit with the tour bus. They got hit with the Greyhound bus, the Mack truck, and a Boeing 747 all at once. But you know what those two did? They grabbed their lightsabers, and they went out, and everybody kind of formed like a really big circle around them, and they did one hell of a demo. And to go one step further, somebody from the crowd screamed, "Hey, I want to see somebody do two lightsabers at once." Sam flipped over his lightsaber to Jack, and Jack was doing like two lightsaber motion thing. It was absolutely incredible, and it was a hell of a thing. So again, for our different groups that have different focuses, that's great because our groups do talk to each other and do help out each other more than our community has in years. Sorry, had to go off on a tangent. Other things about our community, it's, I understand that geographically speaking or economically speaking, it is difficult to get involved with offline chapters. You know, there are people who are like, you know what, I have no Jedi in my area. Which is why we have tried on, I know it's at Jedi Church, I know it's at Jedi Federation, which, you know, love and light to all my Jedi Federation friends. We do have lists out there on some of the bigger groups for people who are looking to get involved in groups. We may not find somebody in your city, but we'll try our best to find somebody in your area. Or I've noticed, I do it a lot on when I get over to Jedi Church, because it seems to be like the opening grounds for a lot of new people, is if somebody says, "Hey, I am so-and-so, I live in St. Louis, does anybody know anybody, any Jedi that's, you know, in my area?" I will immediately go and tag people from that city or close to that city and say, "Hey, you know, this person might need to talk to you." And, you know, that does help out a lot. Actually, Jason got found that way at Jedi Church. Jason was a high ball of energy when he started Jedi Church. And I remember I was chatting with him, like, "Hey, dude, where are you from?" He's like, "Oh, man, I live in Chicago." I was like, "Really? You live in Chicago?" I was like, "Have you checked out the Chicago Jedi?" He's like, "The who, the what, and the when?" I was like, "The Chicago Jedi. There's a big Jedi group in your area right now." And I put him in contact with Gabe and Ross and all that group. You know, that's another thing our community is good for. It's, if you're looking for an online order, I can tell you to go to Force Academy. I can tell you to go to Tacho. I can tell you to go to any of those groups. But if you're looking for an offline group, you know, we are great at trying to find people close by and keeping up with the Jedi registration. Okay, that just sounds like the mutant registration from X-Men, but, you know, the Jedi registration list that we have, you know, those are people who are out there and who are trying to build Jedi groups and get that going. So, Alan, do you pay attention to that as well when people post up at Jedi Federation or a Jedi Church or whatnot?
Yeah, actually, I do. I just recently there was two people that lived within like a half hour of Leo, Leo Dorsey. Well, I think he's in the Pennsylvania area, and it turned out they all lived in the same city, just about a half hour drive away. And so I hooked them up with Leo. I think he's Mid-Atlantic Jedi. And, but yeah, I watch the groups for new members and I try to steer them in the right direction. Another thing I look for when I see somebody saying, "Hey, I want to start my Jedi training," is I try to find out what type of path they're looking to walk, too. Because if they're only wanting to walk the Jedi path as a philosophy, then there's no sense sending them to one of the Jedi orders that's spiritual in nature, and vice versa. If they're wanting to walk a Jedi path spiritually, then don't send them to a philosophy group.
True. Actually, speaking of Leo, I need to get a hold of him. I need to get a hold of his old school Jedi patches. They were like the best Jedi patches I've seen in my life. Great guy. Oh, yeah. I met him in 2012, and that was a hell of a meetup. I was over in Virginia hanging out with Paris and a couple other people, and I walked in. I didn't know who Leo was. I did not know him from anybody. And when I got to where everybody was, he's like, "Oh, hey, you're Hannigan." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm Hannigan." He's like, "Dude, I've known you for at least 10 years. And he told me what his username was, which for anybody who doesn't know, anybody before social networking, the username was your forum name. And apparently, since I used Hannigan all the way through, my name was relatively recognizable. But, yeah, it was the weirdest thing, actually meeting up with him and putting a, oh, shit, this is who you are name. And, God, that meeting, I got to meet up, it was Paris, Leo, Amy, a guy named Jordan Gates, who did a brief stint over at Knights of Awakening when they were doing their regular podcasting. And, oh, God, they had, like, what, 4 or 5 different shows a week. They were awesome. KOA was, and still is, the greatest. And I still give them props every time I can because I came from KOA. But, I don't know, like, I see people, and we'll pick on the Gray Jedi for a minute. You know, not the Gray Jedi like you or myself or Allie with our gray hair. But it seems like a lot of people who want to use the Gray Jedi term, I think they should probably use the word independent term. Because it seems like that's the path they want to do. They don't want to meet up with people. They just kind of want to call themselves Jedi and call it a day. I also, too, I understand that there are people with social anxieties. And that's okay, too. But even people with social anxieties, like, to be honest, I think a good, at least a quarter of the people who I've met at Jedi gatherings actually have social disorders. Like, they don't necessarily like crowds. But for some reason, when you get to a Jedi gathering, I'm not going to say it disappears completely, but it does kind of mitigate a little bit. Alan, have you kind of noticed that with people that you've met at gatherings where they do have social anxiety, but for some reason it is calmed down there?
Yeah, I'd be one of those. it's funny because you almost feel a connection with a lot of these people. I mean, especially if you're online regularly, you interact with some of these people online, you talk to them, you hear their comments, you may even PM them once or twice, and then you go to a gathering and it's like you feel you know them, so you don't feel as bad because it's like, oh, I like this last gathering for me. Now, I've talked to Allie extensively online. I have PM'd Allie probably enough to put some of those gray hairs in her hair. And I've talked to Allie on the phone, I couldn't tell you how many times, but I had never actually met her face to face. And meeting her at the gathering was like we had known each other for years. And so it did, you know, getting around these people that I may not have met in person yet, I felt like I knew them well enough that once I got around them in person, I felt comfortable with them. And it made it easier to get to meet the ones I had never talked to or never met, even online. And so, yeah, I'd have to say it does. And this last gathering, I even made the comment because I've been to 2 national gatherings, but I've also been to a lot of smaller gatherings, which, you know, Arcanea has one coming up in March. For anybody that's interested in coming to the St. Louis area. But you get to know these people personally and they become like family. And I made that comment at this last gathering. This last gathering didn't feel like the very first gathering I went to. The very first gathering I went to, I made friends. I solidified friendships with people that I had known from online. But it felt more like a convention. Where this last gathering felt like a family reunion to me. And I hope and pray and in my meditations just want to see the gatherings to continue to grow that way, to where we're like family coming together and not a bunch of strangers.
You know, I know that there's one comment that you made at the gathering that you wish you didn't make. It was a snide comment. Actually, it's either you or Nikki. I'm not sure which one of you it was. It was, hey, Hannigan, when are you going to move in and join Arcanea? That's probably the one comment, the one thing that you regret from any gathering. Guaranteed.
If I had only known I was being a fortune teller back then.
I just, that's like my awesomest part that I have in my job. my awesomest part of Jedi Federation, and since I'm single and I don't have kids, is, you know, being able to go down to Virginia for a few weeks was kind of what started it a couple of years back. And then being able to move and hang out with Cracker Jack and the Kentucky Jedi. And I call him Cracker Jack because, honestly, I have so much love and respect for Jack, and he accepted the name pretty quickly. And now hanging out, you know, here in Arcanea with Alan and Nikki, you know, being able to have the freedom to go up to Chicago for a weekend, hang out with them for their Shy Tag event. I love that part because it's funny because I get to meet people on many different levels. And, you know, to be honest, this last gathering was the third time I got to meet up with Allie. The first gathering Allie and I both went to was back in 2012. And at that gathering, Allie and myself and Charles McBride were all hosts at Knights of Awakening. And we had the coolest podcast ever. We called out and we dialed in with Justin. And we had like an hour and a half episode at the gathering itself. And it was so funny because we were all, you know, talking about, well, whose episode it was. And Justin was funny. He's like, you know what? A, it's my episode because KOA is mine. And B, I'm hosting it. So the biggest joke was, okay, you're the boss. And Justin was so much fun to work with. I got to meet Justin once. Out of knowing him for a number of years, Justin called me. He's like, hey, I'm going to go down to Oklahoma. I was like, hey, if you know where you're coming from, Wichita is only slightly out of the way. Come down to Wichita. Let's meet up. Let's grab something to eat. Da da da. He's like, no, I'm not going to go that way. Next thing you know, he called me, and he's like, Hannigan, where the hell are you at? I was like, I'm in Wichita. Why? He's like, man, I am just about in Wichita. I'm in some really bad area I don't think I want to be in. And it was so funny because I was like, where exactly are you at? What street are you on? Which direction are you going? And he told me where he was. I was like, dude, you're like 2 miles from me. I was like, there's a burger joint right down the road. I can meet you there. And I can't remember what the burger joint's name was, but it was a Chili's. So it wasn't a burger joint, it was a Chili's. And we decided to meet there. And he's like, well, I see Chili's. I was like, you might not see Chili's, but you'll definitely see the Krispy Kreme sign right beside it. So when you see the Krispy Kreme sign, make a right and you'll be right there. So I got to meet up with Justin and meet his family like that. And I feel almost legendary in some ways because very few people got to meet Justin. And the fact I was able to meet him was a completely thrilling event. In fact, I'll still hold that over Chuck from KOA. I'll hold that over his head that, yeah, dude, I got to meet the boss. And again, Knights of Awakening, KOA, they are the founders of Jedi Podcasting, and I had a great internship-ish with them. And again, that's why I give them so much love, because they were there for me. And even to this day, even after my break-off from KOA, I can still call Justin and bounce ideas off of him, and he's still extremely friendly, extremely professional, and he's fun to work with. I am hoping to get some collaboration episodes with him, and we have Allie on a regular basis from KOA, so, you know, I love that we can still have the back and forth, and it's a great thing. But meeting up with the Jedi, you know, unless you live in an area where there's just nobody there, you know, I do understand the United States. We do have a large Jedi community, and we are kind of spread out, but, you know, we do have means to meet up with each other. I really wish other Jedi had that same opportunity, because when you get to meet up with people and see what they're really like, not just see what they're posting on Facebook or what they're posting on forums, what these people are really like, it's a great thing. And shit, I think last year's gathering, I got teased for my 1,001 selfies, or as I like to call them, swolfies. And you know, it was fun to meet some of the newer people there who were like, dude, I've been following you on Facebook for like a year and a half. Or, hey, dude, I totally saw American Jedi. I thought you were completely awesome. I was kind of wondering what you were going to be like when I met you. And, yeah, you were really much, very much like the person that from the film. So, I don't know, like, if I had to go back 10 years and make that decision not to go to my first Jedi gathering, I can't imagine. Shit, I almost missed my first Jedi gathering. I was actually on my way back, had a stopover in Ohio, and it's a really bad situation. I was on my way back to Kansas, when actually Paris was the one who convinced me to stick around and go to that 2012 gathering. And I am forever grateful to her for that. But we should probably wrap this up because I think I prattled on way too long. Alan, any last minute thoughts that you want to make?
I would just have to say, you know, whether it's the national gathering or not, if anybody's in the Jedi community and you get somewhat even close to the opportunity to making a gathering or a meetup, do yourself a favor and go. Just go. Because doing it in person will definitely give you more vigor. It'll give you more direction, and it'll pump you up. It'll spark you, and it'll put you so much more centered on your path than just doing it online.
All right. Now I'm going to do a quick shout out with the official dates for the Arcanea. Since I'm looking at a calendar, I have that one awesome advantage. Our spring meetup is going to be, arrival date is Friday, June 22nd, and we're kicking everybody out on, sorry, I said June, apologies, March 22nd, and then we're booting everybody out on the 24th. So if you can make it to that event, great. It's actually going to be at somebody's home, which is a large home. The only thing that we are requesting, or recommending would be a better word, is if you have air mattresses, bring it. And I think we're asking for like a $20-ish door fee. And what that $20 is for is really just to buy food for everybody. We get enough money, we get enough food, then we can feed everybody. If it ends up being less than what we originally thought, you know, we can give people back money, or we can send that money over to Jedi Federation for their Jedi gathering, you know, in June, which is 3 months later for the annual gathering. But if you can make it to the St. Louis area, actually, I'm going to readdress part of that. If you're coming from, like, California and you want to come to our meetup, guys, we'd love to have you. But save your money on that plane trip and go to the annual gathering. You know, if you have the funds and you can do both, then do both. But, you know, if you're going to choose between the Arcanea meetup and, you know, the annual gathering, as much as I love Arcanea and as much as I want to meet you, go to the annual gathering. It'll be a bigger event with a lot more diverse people. But if you're in the Chicago area, Kentucky area, Kansas area, these are the areas that we're definitely trying to get here, because we are the archway to the west. You know, we have the big arch, you know, like 50 miles from the house. So this is the archway to the west. And, you know, if you're, you know, in a 300-mile radius, guys, come see us. And if you have to catch a bus, like if you live in, like, Topeka, Kansas or whatnot, grab the bus to St. Louis. I will gladly drive into St. Louis and pick you up from the bus station. It won't be a problem. So if you can get here, please get here. It's going to be a great event. We have a couple workshops going. There's going to be a lot of time that we're going to use just to catch up, just to socialize, just to be in the moment and be with our Jedi. But we are going to have a couple workshops. I'm going to do a Reiki 1, possibly a Reiki 2 workshop. I'm sure there's going to be some saber things going on. So a lot going on with us in March, and again, the annual gathering in June. Another pop. Shout out Knights of the Round Table, Alan or Adam and Ross. They'll be on at 9 o'clock Central Time tomorrow night. So give them a listen. If you want to call in and give them hell, it's going to be the same call in number. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us tonight. Hey, coming from Arcanea.
Hannigan.
Yeah.
Hannigan. Before we go, yeah. If you're going to the national gathering, and you need somewhere to stop and crash partway, we are halfway for a lot of people that might be going west. You are free to come to Arcanea and crash here on your way to the National Gathering.
Oh, so what you're saying, if your name is Shell or from Oklahoma or Bree from Kansas, to definitely stop over and see us on the way to the gathering. And actually, that does remind me, I do know that the Wilson Mobile is definitely going to be packed down and loaded. My Nissan, I could still fit two more people comfortably in my car. So if you're coming from Kansas or Oklahoma, hypothetically speaking, and you need a ride, you know, to Indiana because you don't want to take your car, or if, again, you want to take the bus here to St. Louis, I can take two people from here as well. So we can leave the car here. It won't be a problem. And, yeah, I'll get you guys to the gathering. Make sure you come and see
us. The Wilson Mobile may be full, but we can always put gear in the back.
Oh, you know, if you did that, then I could fit three other people in my car, come to think about it. Because, yeah, my trunk's not very big. It might be able to hold everything I own, but trust me, guys, that's not very much. All right, thanks for listening. Make sure you guys check out Ross and Adam tomorrow. They're going to be talking about fear. It's actually a part two episode, 9 o'clock Central Time. If you have not subscribed to Jedi Rose Radio on Blog Talk Radio, if you do that, the cool thing is, as soon as we book an episode, you'll get an email notification. Or shortly before an episode happens, you'll get an email notification. That's one advantage about subscribing with us. If not, guys, like the Jedi Rails Radio Facebook page. And, of course, shout out to Arcanea. Check out the Arcanea Jedi page. And, as always, you know, Jedi Federation, it's the larger group that I'm personally a part of. And other one I'm always going to mention is make sure you check out American Jedi on Amazon, iTunes, or YouTube. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Love and light to the Tannigan. We're out.